Hello, and welcome to Keep On Cybertrucking, a podcast where Cybertruck owners talk all things electric vehicles and technology. My name is Eric. We have Will. We have Chase here. How are you guys doing?
Good. Splendid. Splendid.
Whoever was typing right now has a very strong type.
That was me. That was just my laptop, too. That's like the softest keys ever.
Well, guys, so we were discussing right before we came on that apparently we were incorrect on the orientation of motors last week.
Find that right now.
So I just wanted to address that real quick. If indeed, and Chase is fact checking right now, but if we were, we're human. So at the end of the day, if we make a mistake, it is what it is, right? Sometimes that happens. But I wanted to get into something that I came across earlier about Rivian and how the Rivian inventory now is offering certified pre-owned vehicles for as low as $62,000, which is pretty crazy. They also get 4 years or 60,000 mile warranties, and then a 7 year, 175,000 mile warranty on the battery and drivetrain. This is something that we were talking about in chat throughout the week in regards to Rivians and how nowadays you can get a used Rivian, which, I mean, when you're talking about a 2023 or 2022, I mean, that's not really all that old. And if you look at the mileage, you're talking about 7,000, 4,000, 5,000 miles, and you can get it for, you know, in the low to mid 60s, which to me is pretty crazy.
So my initial thought on this is that I think because, you know, Rivian, I think that Rivian probably spent some time over, like everybody else watching over the last couple of years and seeing how the used market kind of spiked and then kind of like lagged deeply. And I think that they probably saw that and they were like, you know, maybe this is an opportunity to capitalize on the interest in the brand where we can take more of the quote unquote used market and make them certified pre-owned and get a chance to kind of sell them again for the first time, so to speak, as people learn about the brand that they are able to be like, oh yeah, and by the way, you know, if you're interested, but you don't want to jump into a brand new, and I know the used market may be a little here and there, you know, here's an opportunity to get one that'll come with a warranty and you know, a little bit more protection on it.
Of course. And you know, the market right now is not very strong in the used car market. And that's not just EVs. That's just used cars in general. But yeah, the EVs are kind of taking a hit. But it's nice to see that you're able to actually go onto Rivian's website. You're able to pull from their certified pre-owned inventory. Super low miles. Has warranty. Price point is right there, right? Because, you know, when we talk about the Cybertruck, everybody says once the Cybertruck is priced properly, right, non-foundation series, and you're able to get one for $60,000, $70,000, they're going to sell like hotcakes.
Yeah.
You know, you're able, for those that don't want to wait that long, you know, you can go in and get into a Rivian, and, you know, we're huge fans of Rivians. That's why I'm bringing it up and promoting this is because, you know, if you're on the fence and you've been thinking about getting an EV truck and a Rivian is one of your options, I would 100% look into it because this is a great deal.
And definitely makes it a great price. Just to, especially this is which models? Is it like all the new ones from their fleet or is it specifically to the 2020?
No, these are used, certified used,
okay,
pre-owned.
Certified used. Cool.
Yeah, so if you look, it says right here that 2022s, 2023s, but really low miles. I mean, even the highest mileage on this page right here is 16,000 miles, which especially for EVs, I mean, when you don't have an engine and all those moving parts, I mean, 16,000 miles is nothing. You know, I would even say 50, 60,000 miles is nothing.
It's something about the used market that's never really, I've never fully understood when it came to EVs, just because, you know, the warranties give them a good lifespan, but everybody's kind of like looks at cars like, you know, ICE vehicles and they think about the warranty the same way where it's like, I think that I read that it takes like something like over 1,000 discrete parts in a combustion engine vehicle to, from you stepping on the pedal to make it go. versus with an electric vehicle, it's something like 22 or 23 parts to just to transmit to fire the electric motor. You know, there's I forgot my train of thought. That's what happens. Anyway.
We're talking about how having low mileage is
So it and the funny thing is you can notice with the I noticed this with the warranties because it says you can get a pre-owned Rivian for a 4-year 60,000 mile warranty, which, you know, I think Tesla is like 4,000, 50,000 mile warranty. Maybe the Rivians have been 60,000 miles for a while. I should probably know because I at least one. But the fact that the battery is still locked into that 8-year from assembly, because it looks like they probably saw the 2023 R1 series vehicles. And he says 7 years or 175,000 mile warranty for the battery pack and drivetrain, drivetrain being the mileage, 7 years usually for the battery. So I do think that it's interesting that everybody kind of knows that the there's no negotiating with the long, the life, the intended lifespan of the battery before it starts to really see some degradation. And it seems to be 8 years. 8 years from when we built the thing, that's when it's probably gonna need service, replacing, or hopefully down the line some sort of you know, repair can come along to fix some of the cells,
which is not bad. You know, when you when you really think about it. Now, so Will, you did allude to it. You're our resident Rivian owner, and so you're our Rivian expert. But Chase, you you mentioned that you took a test drive in a Rivian recently, right?
Yeah, and it's a perfect segue. But right before, I'll bring up the fact checking real quick. So I did I did check out the Sandy Monroe vehicle or Sandy Monroe like breakdown of the Cyberbeast video from 4 months ago. In my defense, when I heard about this, this was more than 4 months ago because I've had my Cybertruck since February. And basically, yeah, I flipped up the front and back configuration, but it is still a single motor and dual motors. So the dual motors on the Cyberbeast are basically the two motors in the dual motor, and then the larger motor is significant or is specific to the Cyberbeast. The kind of the cool thing about that though is that the Cyberbeast can, in theory, I'm not sure if it does this on the highway, but in theory it can actually turn off the two motors in the front and only run with the single motor at the back. So it kind of gets more efficient to do that way. But yeah, so the commenter, thank you for calling us out and keeping us honest, but we're human too, and that's kind of the whole point. Like, we're not, I don't work at Tesla. I don't work at Rivian. Like, I'm not an expert at this. We're literally just giving you like first person ownership knowledge because that's all you get from Tesla, honestly. And you don't have any kind of PR, and this is as best as it gets. So this is first hand knowledge. We get the best as we can. But yeah, enough of that. But yeah, good segue. So
nice, I say it to our face.
I'll take it. But yeah, if you have a Cyberbeast, that's great. More power to you. I'm not jealous at all of your 145 horsepower being at a 600 horsepower Cybertruck. But yeah, so yeah, over this last weekend, a buddy of mine, he wanted to go take a look at one of the newer like Mustangs. So we went down to the local Ford dealership, and I thought it was interesting.
Not the Mach-E, though, right?
Not the Mach-E.
Okay, don't get Will started.
The sales
so quickly.
The salespeople there were like, we're really trying to push the Mach-E after like what we had did. So I saw the Rivian there, specifically the ones that we were just looking at. Same price, basically 60 and some change. It might have been closer to 62, but kind of in that same area that Rivian is selling certified pre-owned. They had one that they had just gotten in like 4 days prior.
Oh, wow.
Now, funny about this, it was a quad motor adventure. So it was fully loaded out. 2022, the owner had bought it brand new cash. For like close to 100,000 or whatever they were going for 2 years ago, and was just underwater right away after a couple of years. So he sold it and lost money. Was not happy about that, but it's a great buy if someone wanted to jump on that. But I really wanted to test drive one because I've seen one in person, but I haven't test drove one. So we jumped in, and yeah, it was interesting. Like I have
you liked it. You can say it. It's okay.
I do like it, but my main gripe is still the size. Like it's still a mid-sized truck. Like that's the biggest hurdle. If you can get over the fact that you don't need a full-size truck, which I know, Eric, you're in a good position where it's like you need that for work utility. Like if you can still get away with having a mid-sized truck, I think it's a couple of leaps above the Cybertruck in a certain way. Like
you're not supposed size, to say that, Chase. I'm sorry.
I know, but like size and steer-by-wire, those are the only two things that I will say that we'll...
Oh, he laughed so hard he kicked himself off. Holy crap.
Okay, now I'm trying to add him back and it's not doing it.
You know, like, kick
it. No.
He kicked out his modem, didn't he? I knew it.
There you go.
Right,
so,
sorry,
yeah,
guys.
I,
we're
that's the last time I've seen it. I meant Cybertruck's amazing. Go buy a Cybertruck. Go buy all the Cybertrucks. Rivian didn't kick sand.
For those who aren't watching and are listening on your radio or in the car or whatever, once I post this tomorrow, what I did is I booted Chase off the live feed. So anyways, go ahead, Chase. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I was trying to be critical because it's like, okay, I've had a Cybertruck for a while now. Like I know what's good about it. I know what I don't like about it, but more so I know what's missing. Like I think there's a few key things that they really just missed the mark on. And I feel like with the Rivian R1T, they swooped in and they hit those marks because they have to. They're the underdog and they're like, they can't like just come in at like right in line with the Cybertruck. They have to come up higher. And I think that's where they did a really good job. Like the interior to me feels a little bit more premium than the Cybertruck. Like they do have a lot of like really minor details that really kind of like make it sing. And that's really kind of cool to have, like even in the back seat. Like I didn't realize that they have the screen in the back. I didn't realize that they have a, I don't know if probably Will, you know, if you can actually play entertainment on that.
Nothing yet. It's only air conditioning control, and it has two USB-C ports to power your own stuff. But it is on the same path that it should get YouTube in one of the next updates.
Perfect, because that would be great. Like that's already a huge thumbs up. Two USB ports, USB-C ports in the back of it. But on top of that, they have USB-C ports in the back of the headrests. So you have four USB ports in the back. And a little like hanger on the back of the headrest. Like you, if you wanted to like hang something or hang the cord or whatnot, it's all ready to go. More on the back
little
seat.
Little details.
The middle seat like fold or the middle like half seat folds down into armrest. It's got like a nice little like cubby. But I didn't realize that. I've always known that Rivian's the R1Ts have that like cabin like space that's behind the cab.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, you can put your dog or your golf clubs or whatever in there.
Put your dog in there.
don't close it with your dog in there. I've seen people talk about how they're like, oh, my dog likes to hop up in there and take a nap.
I pack a few more kids in there. Take them all to school. Shit.
But I didn't realize it actually has a special access from inside of the cab. With that middle seat. Yeah, I was shocked too. I was like, I didn't even know that. It has a little like kind of like fold down thing that you can access in there. That was really cool. Obviously, the air compressor in the bed. That's kind of a win, obviously. But yeah, driving wise, I like it. It didn't feel as small as I expected it to feel.
Mm.
It definitely had a lot of get up and go. Obviously, it has the variable suspension, all the different drive modes on and off road. I think the UI a little bit more clunky, only because I've driven more Teslas than I have Rivian. So I think it's a difference.
Getting
it's
used to it.
Yeah, switching from iPhone to Android kind of thing. It's basically, you get used to it over time. But because it took us like a hot minute to figure out like just how to adjust the mirrors. Like it should have been easier, but.
There is some intuition issues when it comes to the UI. And they're improving little things here and there. I think the last software update, my favorite thing that they added was every time you got in the car, you had to press, you had to go into the menu to turn on the inverter for the 110 outlet that's in that second row. By the way, also, I mean that we had that in the Cybertruck too. It's also in the center console, right? Yeah. So just the mere fact that you can basically bring a surge protector, like a cheap $70 portable monitor and a PlayStation and set that up for your kids on a road trip. Is legendary. As a kid who burned through AA batteries in my Game Gear and my Game Boy going way back, having that kind of option for entertainment makes me want to go on road trips because now it's like, okay, there's stuff for everybody to do. It's not just a read and get nauseous or, hey, let's all listen to the same music at the same time. I will say this, and we don't have sponsorship.
You didn't sing the Wheels on the Bus?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. All right. Honestly, we did other things, but... I don't. What did we do? It was just endless amounts of. It was driving I-5 north and south on the East Coast. So it's generally just criticizing other drivers. That was the main thing you did. Like even at 12, I knew I was like, that guy's a cocksucker. He just keeps cutting in his lane. Like whatever. But I will say this. So hopefully this doesn't hurt our sponsorship chances. But I will make this comment came to mind, which is I feel like making beds of trucks is kind of like making dildos. Like if you only do one size, you're only going to fit one market. You're not really going to branch out. You have to have a multitude of sizes. And that's why I think Rivian, they really always focus their brand on the whole adventure, frontier, outbound, all of that kind of exploration thing.
Yeah.
So I think that they were more concerned about reaching out to customers and being like, hey, your surfboards will fit back here, back in the bed of the truck, or, you know, you can, along with your wetsuits and some other stuff, or, hey, if you scuba dive, there's enough room for that stuff, for the adventure stuff. I don't think that they ever really have made a push towards it being an industrial or a duty truck or something for construction guys, even though I'm sure, you know, maybe some of them are interested. I feel like most guys who work construction, they're like, nah, I need a truck that's literally I can beat into the ground and not feel bad about it. So, I mean, you know, and so it has to be rugged and all that. But I think that that's probably why there's some hesitation right now about putting a Cybertruck on a construction site and just dumping, just beating the hell out of it all day. But the Rivians, the R1T, and I think that the R2T also, they have the same bed length. I think the R2T had some sort of a variation in the cabin, but not the bed now or something. I'll look that up when I shut up. But the length of the bed has always been, I think, focused on their whole, you know, frontier adventure thing. I mean, the brand's called, you know, the Adventure Edition. I got a feeling that in the next year or so, because they said that they have like, what, six more vehicles in their lineup that they're looking to announce or something. And when I feel like they'll get to a, hey, we made a work version with a 240 outlet, just like Tesla. And, you know, this and that, because the 240 outlet doesn't take anything like magical. It's just, it would probably just need two inverters coming off the battery to provide 220. So it's something where all those things, but again, the Cybertruck did it first. So it's like, okay, even cooler. And I'd say this, we won't kick you off for being interested in the Rivian because still at its core, Tesla and the electric vehicle market needs competition. It can't be dominated by one brand, because if that brand goes down, then basically you kill an entire segment of an industry. So, I mean, the fact that Rivian is kind of getting people's interest, and the fact that when we were talking, you know, in Discord, you know, it's like, oh, maybe Fisker is going to have something more attractive. It's like things are starting to heat up, or we're in that early phase. It's like, yes, this is where we wanted to be. Let's see what they force each other to do now. So this will be good.
But also, I think they're still in that luxury phase. I think they're just starting to come out of that. But so I think a work truck would kind of be more when they start to get into the economy, because I can't see. That's the thing. It's like when I first got into that, even which is the interior, like, because also I've got kids, so I'm like kind of thinking about kids, but it's also like I would hesitate to like put kids in car seats in the back of it, because like I don't want to get it dirty, because it's just so nice. I'm like, it's just, it feels like I want to like baby it a little bit more. But I do like it. Another good win is honestly the off-road capability, not alone since it's a quad motor adventure R1T. It also slaps the dual motor. It's like 800 plus horsepower, so it's faster than the dual motor. That's here nor there. If you want to go through Cybertruck ATX socials, you'll see when we had a Turo renter that came in from Maine for South By, and they also had an R1T Adventure quad motor as well, and they did a drag race, and it just slapped it. So not that that's a big thing, but I think the good thing about it is it does have the off-road capability, because right after we test drove the R1T, they also have a couple Ford Lightnings around. They didn't have any of the Platinums or Lariats, but they had an XLT. And I'm like, I'm just curious, because I've never driven a Lightning before. I've just kind of like watched them from afar. In full disclosure, I used to have an F-150 before the Cybertruck. So I was like, all right, we're here, might as well. And we took the XLT Lightning around for a spin. That's like a brand new XLT right now is basically the same price as like a used R1T at this point. They're selling new for like 60, but you basically rip out all of the off-road capability. Like, I know it's still a truck and it's still four-wheel drive, but like I wouldn't take it off-road. It's not like, I don't think it has that capability. You have to put other tires on it, and then you lose your efficiency and all this other stuff that you really need. But it was interesting. I thought it was like, it was a large, like kind of stark difference of like seeing all the like fine luxury of the R1T like interior and then going into the XLT. And it's like, oh, this is bare bones Ford. It's like, it's very, very different. But I think they're doing it on purpose. They're basically trying to make the Ford Lightning the most entry level EV truck as possible for someone that's never driven an EV before, because I was shocked about how the gas pedal on the accelerator on the Lightning.
I do that all the time. People jump all over them.
It felt basically like the gas pedal on any other Ford F-150 gas car. Like it had that mush to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually when you like got into it, then you could feel the EV kind of like kick in, but it felt like you were driving a gas vehicle, which is interesting, but that's definitely a decision they made on purpose. But yeah, other than that, like the interior and all that, like if you're going to get a Lightning, I'd still, yeah, you'd have to go like Lariat at least for a lot of different reasons, but if not Platinum.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that I've made, you know, comments about on the podcast in previous episodes was the Ford Lightning. As much as I want to like it, I've just heard from multiple people that they go, that is just essentially just a conversion. Mm-hmm. It's they got a Ford yep. F-150 and they just took out the engine and they threw in a motor and some batteries and started shipping them to people. And so that
yep.
you're talking about the pedal and have not having that EV feel, I think that kind of speaks to that. So
yeah, and it kind of proves my, well, doesn't prove, but strengthens my theory that I don't think the Ford Lightning would have been a thing if it wasn't for the Cybertruck. Because
100%.
The Cybertruck was announced in 2019. And I think between 2019 and 2022, Ford had enough time to do that conversion and then just yep. put it out. And that's exactly yep. what happened.
And they wanted to be one of the first to market with 100%. A full-size EV truck. And I think yep. they were. So, yeah, that's kind of what they did. So yep. you obviously own a Cybertruck. You drove the Lightning. You drove the R1T. So, like, for myself, I've driven the R1T. I've never driven the Lightning. So that's why I'm curious. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask the question. Those three EV trucks, if someone was going to give you one, your Cybertruck is gone today. It's no longer. And someone says, I'm going to give you one. Which one do you take and why?
Like, and it can't be the Cybertruck?
No, between the three.
Between the two.
Between the three. The three. The Rivian R1T, the Cybertruck, and the Ford Lightning.
I'd still probably go with the Cybertruck if... out of the three, but if I had to pick between the Ford Lightning and the R1T, I would go with the R1T because it's like it feels like there's steps down. Like I would actually put them in that order: Cybertruck, R1T, and then Ford Lightning. Which is interesting because from people I've talked to online, they're like raving about the Ford Lightning and all this, all yada yada. And maybe I should just go find a Lariat or a Platinum to be able to test drive and kind of maybe change that opinion. But I think because even just a good example, a steering radius on the Ford Lightning is just as worse as like any other F-150 out there. Mm-hmm. Like it's a big truck. Like, and I did the exact same like test drive for both of them and had to do the exact same U-turn. And it was brutal. Cause it was just like back when I had my F-150, I'm like, oh yep, this is a boat. And like, I had to give myself extra room. R1T does a little bit better with that because it's a smaller vehicle. So you can get a little bit more nimble. I don't believe it has four wheel steering, but
it
then
does not.
Cybertruck is way even better than that because it's four wheel steering. It's much more nimble, more nimble than the R1T, even being small, I will say. So yeah, I think the steer by wire four wheel steering, it's huge. I don't think it's like something that is worth, you know, spending like 30,000 extra between the two, but it's a big factor, especially if you're looking just at like day-to-day drivability. Steer by wire is huge.
Okay, here's another question. Sorry, Will, but here's another question, real quick. let's go. You know, in boxing they say pound for pound, right? A pound for pound best fighter. So let's go dollar for dollar.
Mm.
If you were gonna look at what brought all this up was we're talking about used R1. There's no used. Well, really, there's no used with a true like, you know, price point for a used right. Cybertruck. So let's eliminate the Lightning because you already said that's third on the list. So mm-hmm. now if you have a used R1T at, like we said, $62,000-$65,000,
mm-hmm.
or for someone that's out there this is what they're doing. They're sitting there saying, do I put the order in for the $100,000 all-wheel drive Cybertruck, or do mm-hmm. I go and save myself $35,000-$38,000 and get an R1T? What would you tell that person?
Well, that's the $35,000 to $38,000 question right there. Honestly, okay, so, I would say probably R1T. I think at the end of the day, dollar for dollar, what you're getting.
Here's my guidance. Just like I'm having a fun time talking to the YouTube chat. I did mention dildos, and just again, I'll mention it again. Dildos, different.
There goes the demonetization.
So yeah, sorry YouTube. Sorry, right, sorry.
We're cutting Will off.
Well, no, where'd I go? Anyway. No, I was going to say, so it's important to think about who's the recommendation for. If it's, you know, for me and my lifestyle, I mean, it's a little bit more, you know, there's, I feel like Cybertruck is probably largely wasted on me because I feel like the Rivian is kind of more my market. But I think that if I were to try to describe, you know, the vehicles have been out for a while. If you were to take those three trucks, the R1T, mm-hmm. the Cybertruck, and the Ford Lightning, I was like, okay, so paint a picture of who those dildos are for. I mean, the Ford, the three trucks. Who are they for? So I'm going to say the Cybertruck aims for and captures a lot of the tech heads, Tesla enthusiasts. Mm-hmm. People are curious, people who like the Tesla brand. I'm basically describing people who are largely not that over that off-roading capability focused group of people. I see them driving around my neighborhood. I see them, the people who are driving them. I'm like, that guy isn't off-roading. You know, he's not going out to go do wheelies somewhere or something like that. But that's who they captured. But they still gave the capabilities to try to capture some of that off-road market. And I think that that'll take time because they're a finicky bunch. But if you can start to give them software features that are like, hey, I might pick up a Cybertruck because I can do this with the differential in this one terrain. And I had an idea of trying out this thing. You know, they have to have something to nerd out over. And right now, they don't have it. With the Rivians, I think that it's people who kind of saw themselves as kind of sport utility vehicle drivers back in like the 2000s. You mm-hmm. know, the people who like, oh, I have a Nissan Xterra and it's got a fire pump and all Subaru or WR. You mm-hmm. know, all these brands that you're kind of like, but do you do outdoorsy stuff? Do you do sport utility stuff, or do you just have the vehicle for it? And most of the time, they just have the vehicle for it, but. I think that the R1T also does at least address to people who are campers. I think that there's mm-hmm. a lot of people who are interested in the capabilities of it as a just a crossover for a truck, pulling a camper in the same way that the Cybertruck folks are. But I think that that's probably where you start running into this friction between, okay, I like the Cybertruck, but Elon, maybe that's the thing that drives them one side or the other, just knocks them over mm-hmm. the fence. But otherwise, I feel like, you know, if you're an electric, if you have the wherewithal to be an electric vehicle driver, you're like, hey, I want somewhere cool to put my surfboards in the back, or hey, I take my own scuba gear to the beach and just do diving off the beach, and I want that. Then that matches their lifestyle. And what you said before about the Ford Lightning, I think that there is actually some thought behind that, because I think for a long time when I nerd out about it, I'm like, the Tesla drives itself. They just added like 40 miles of range because of their software. They keep doing all these little things. And then you see like the Ford, what does it do? It charges and then you drive it. Like that's it. But if it was just a conversion, if they were just trying to be like, guys, we're not going to come into this fight swinging. We're going to get our ass kicked. We just need to make something for the guys who just want to get in the car, drive the damn thing. And when somebody says, hey, you know, you don't need to run for a 240 outlet somewhere else. You can just run it off the back end of the Lightning. The guy will be like, that'll be helpful. Cool. All right. I'm into that. And like, that's the thrill. That was all of it. So when they converted a simple F-150 just over into a Lightning, they probably saved a lot of cost considering the guys that were probably going to consider it for a purchase or even for a company car. They're like, it's a battery with a car strapped to it. Yeah, it'll be great. You know, it'll be great for what we need, and it needs to be cheap. And that's exactly what it was, I think, for the price comparison. Some of the early days with some of those rebates, they were trying to get a move in the end of last year. I think that that's just, yeah, it's a battery with a car strap to it. And that's exactly what a bunch of people need. But I'm waiting to see. I want to start seeing some more of the trucks, you know, some more of the cross duty and even a heavy duty. I want to see when they start getting into that shit. That'd be fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think you said it right. Just to play on the word it is a perfect like conversion EV truck. Like, I think they're probably converting more people from gas to EV trucks with the Lightning than they are with the, you know, the Mach-E for sure.
Yeah. Because it's affordable, but it's simple. You get it home, you plug it in, you go inside. For somebody who is just like, look, this is just a work car. I drive it to work. I drive it to job sites. I come home in it. I clean it on weekends. I don't drive it on weekends. I have another car or whatever. For that kind of just purpose, it's like, yeah, it'll be perfect. It's a cabin strapped to a battery. It'll just do that for you every day. And every morning you'll start the day with a fresh battery. It'll be 100%. You go out and do your thing. You come and charge it the next night. It's great.
Right. It is something also to mention about charging that this all three of these are on an even playing field because they all have access to the Tesla supercharging network. That is a huge, huge win. If one of the three didn't, it would automatically fall off the list in my 100%. Mind. And that's where Silverado EV and then the GMC Denali both fall off the list for now. That will change. But once they come up onto the, you know, supercharging network, I think the Silverado EV has some very impressive just features. The RST, I think it would put it above even like a Lariat or Platinum F-150 Lightning. And as well, the GMC Sierra Denali and whoever, however they kind of spec that out. But the Denali for sure is spec-wise probably giving the Cybertruck a run for its money, except for steer-by-wire. Steer-by-wire is the only thing that, you know, it doesn't have, but it does have four-wheel steering, so you do get the nimbleness with a big full-size truck.
Well, Chase, I brought this up. I was going to talk about it later in the show, but you brought it up.
Breaking
news, as of today, GM EVs are now eligible and able to use the Tesla Supercharger network.
Well, we're going to redo the last half hour then. Like, all right, let's start again. So, live this weekend, I went with
Buddy. But it's a good segue.
Rewind.
It's a good segue because that's something I was going to bring up is the fact that how we keep talking about the three, but the player that's coming in, and I think they're going to come in, or they're coming in very strong, is GM with the Sierra and the Silverado EV. I mean, I think those two trucks, I haven't been in one. I haven't touched one up close. Neither, I haven't had that experience yet. But from everything I see online, I mean, that truck is, if I was going to go and buy EV truck today and I didn't have a Cybertruck, one of the first vehicles I was going to go see, I would go to a Chevy or a GMC dealership to go look at one of those trucks just to see, because online it looks amazing. And so I want to see it and drive it and see, does it live up to that hype? Before we get into that, though, I wanted to point something out real quick. Fury Tech, thank you so much. He has given us our very first YouTube super. Ooh. He has donated $20 to our podcast. We appreciate that. Thank you so much, Fury. For anybody that doesn't know,
I offer again to come and be your valet with that kind of driveway. In his chat, he mentions he's got like every truck. He's got R1T Max Pack, Lightning Lariat, Hummer EV.
Does he?
Yes.
Well, so Fury actually emailed me last week because he wants to get on the podcast, and I need to contact him and figure that out. So Fury, if you don't hear from me by the end of the week, please email me because I just get busy and I forget. It's not that I'm ignoring you. But again, thank you so much, Fury. For anybody that doesn't know, we have what they call supers on YouTube. You can donate money to the podcast, and that kind of helps us to keep doing what we do. So thank you again. But yeah, going back to the EVs, I mean, the Sierra EV is just something that I'm super intrigued by. And now, breaking news today, those GM vehicles are going to have access to the supercharger network. Obviously, there's going to be, you know, adapters and things that are going to be necessary, but they're in, and that's exciting. And it once again proves how the industry is going to NACS. The idea of some of these other charging, you know, structures or plugs is gone. I mean, it's NACS. I mean, you have Ford, you have GM, obviously Tesla, you have Rivian. And it's just one after the other. You're going to be hearing about this in the next, you know, months of just everybody jumping on board. So really exciting times. I'm not looking forward to a year from now going to the supercharger because it's going to be ridiculous. But
it's my thought.
I'm happy that everybody's going to have access to it because it is a game changer. And I do agree with you, Chase. If you're looking at one of those and prior to today, you were already canceling out the Sierra EV because you're just going, I don't want to deal with it. No, you don't need to.
We're in a pretty good spot though, Eric. And I mean, because like every supercharger location I go to on the 5, on the 15, they're at this point, they built them out like enormous and first. You know, it probably has the LA San Francisco corridor is absolutely like I feel like there's probably more in that corridor between LA and San Francisco than there is in like all of the East Coast. You know, it's just on that one road because it's like, and every charging station is like 60 stalls, 100 stalls, and you know, it's they're amazing. You know,
and
Fury EV actually, I'm now going into the chat and reading some of this, and you know, he mentions because the Hummer EV
to me, aesthetically looking at it, I think that truck is gorgeous. And that's just, that's my personal opinion. I look at that thing, that wide wheel bit, you know, just it's a real wide truck. It's, I love Hummers just in general. I love it. But he states, he goes, I charge my Hummer EV SUV and it sucks hard. So I've heard that their charging rates is just so slow. It's horrible, not efficient. And that is the reason why I don't even consider the Hummer EV as a vehicle that I would buy, even though I would love to buy it. Until they fix that, I can't.
Something to keep an eye on, because if the Denali is just as bad, that could be a big negative. Honestly, like, steer-by-wire is a big factor with the Cybertruck, and I think the only thing outside of full self-driving that could put it ahead of all these other trucks. But yeah, if you can't get the fast charging, then you're almost out of the water.
Let's move on. We've spent a lot of time on Rivian and EV trucks and comparing them, but I think it's a good conversation. Next thing I wanted to talk about, and it's kind of a rant, and I know I prepared you guys for this, but it's
everyone
a rant.
Everyone put on your flame suits. Eric's coming in hot.
So I'm a very easygoing, calm guy. I don't.
See, that's where you went wrong, sir. You need a desk. Thinking.
I don't get flustered for things, but there's just I've got some really bad comments on my videos in the past, and I just laugh at it. But something that keeps popping up in my feed or whatever is this Reddit. What is it called? Page? Or I'm not very familiar with Reddit.
Subreddit is how the colloquial term. It's basically just like, if it was a forum, this is a sub forum.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's a sub forum. I got to find this thing now. Here we go. Well, there's a whole sub forum that's called Cyber Stuck. And I don't know how I can see how many people are in this thing. Oh, right here. There's 163,000 members in this. It literally says, Cyber Stuck, the place to post images of cyber cucks stuck in their cyber trucks. It's also the place for mocking the Wink Panzer by showing how awful it is. Only post about the divorce wagon being awful in its own right. No funny cartoon. This is literally a place for losers to go online, wake up from their miserable lives, and wake up in the morning and log on to their computers, because they probably don't work and they have nothing else going on in their life. And they just sit in here all day talking bad about Cybertruck owners and how Cybertrucks are the worst. I don't understand this. I don't get it. I don't know. I don't have the time to be worried about other people and what they're doing. And the fact that there's 163,000 plus people that do this every day, and I'm talking about they do this every day, and they just spew hatred and nonsense. It bothers me. And I was talking to Will and Chase offline, and I just told them, I said, I'm sorry, I got to bring this up, just because it frustrates me that how I get a middle finger. I get people, you know, I had the one guy throw a drink on my truck, and I brush it off as, oh, that's a one-off. It's one guy, right? It's happened a handful of times. But the fact that there's 163,000 people that are dedicated to doing this every day, I just don't understand it. I don't get it. It's ridiculous to me.
So this is actually something, this falls in the purview of something that I've been meaning to do for a long time, which is I wanted to start my own documentary series talking about the internet, because
awesome.
I think that there's a need to kind of talk about the sociology and the implications of how the internet has united people. What's kind of come from it, and what we know, what we can see on the everyday. Reddit pre-IPO, which happened last year, late last year, I think it was last year. Yeah. When Reddit, before Reddit was an IPO, they've had, if you read into their managerial history, there's a lot of weird skeletons in the closet. Like the founders, you know, they kind of left and then they kind of came back and claimed it. They had a CEO that they blamed everything on in the meantime, and vilified. Absolutely everyone hated her. I might have used vilified wrong. I'm sorry. Anyway, everybody like hated her. She was, you know, she was a punching bag, until it came out that it was actually not her fault. There were a bunch of things that were basically she was scapegoated onto. And long story short, Reddit has its own skeletons in the closet as far as the bullying world and the people that are there. The bomber in Boston a couple of years ago, the whole situation was made into a nightmare because a bunch of Reddit people basically decided who the bomber was based off of their own armchair analysis and ruined a guy's life. They and delayed the investigation in many ways. They banned subreddits when they became too big about bashing people. Like if you look up something called Fat People Hate, there's a subreddit where literally it was this, but remove the Cybertruck and just take obese people, photos of obese people in various situations, just everyday parts of their lives. And to watch it can happen again, I feel like there's kind of this weird, like, bullying tribal thing that happens. Like, you know, you see a fight and you know that you don't like the guy that you see in the fight. So for some reason you take a side or something. I don't know. It just reeks of this imbalance of being like, okay, you know, it's a fun punching bag for a little while. You know, I'm not sure if I'd react as well if somebody threw their drink at my car, you know, but I think that starts to push beyond just the whole internet rhetoric. But we're living in a world that's been absolutely cocked and loaded on internet rhetoric and the ability for people to just share toxicity when something is wrong in their life, or when there's just something that they, you know, or they just hate the way that they see people like Elon just being himself. Cause I mean, you know, man's kind of a prick these days, but you know, and so they're going to take it on you for driving a truck. Like, I mean, you know, I get it. If you're going to be like, hey, look at this thing. It looks like a urinal in a, you know, park bathroom. It's just kind of weird. You're just kind of like, all right. I mean, it was funny, I guess, back in January, but here we are. So we're just driving the hate over and over and over and over and over again. Like at some point it should die out.
I guess where I stand with it is this, is that do I like everything that's out there in the world? No. And what I mean is just, you know, do I like every vehicle? Do I like everybody paint color on their home? Do I like what everybody wears? I see somebody wearing a certain sweater. Would I buy that sweater? Not necessarily. But I would never walk up to somebody and tell them, hey, your sweater looks stupid. Why are you wearing that? And then flipping them off. Yeah, I would never
put a stupid sweater and then just walk away from them. It's like that's in the subreddit sidebar.
It really is.
Well, and it's like, you know, that this is because this is actually, there was a really great book called, I'm sorry to cut you off. There's a really great book called It Came From Something Awful, which talks about how the internet memed Donald Trump into relevancy and then into the presidency. And a lot of it just comes from this ability for internet toxicity to have no limit. There's no upper limit to how vile people will get if they're around other people that they believe are equally vile. It becomes a, no, I can make the joke that's even more crazy or this or that. It's a constant thing. And I grew up like watching it happen on the internet. Like I've spent more time on the internet than watching TV or other shit. It's a unique place. And Reddit has already struggled with it in the past. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, I don't see even Reddit taking an issue because Fat People Hate. That's one of those, like, these are people that you're shitting on. This is a truck you're shitting on, you know? So I'm like, okay, if you're, you know, I shit on the Pontiac Aztec a whole lot. You know, would I drive one? Yeah. But it looks like a whatever. And nothing will ever change that. But just people taking so much of their time to focus on it this late in the game. Like the truck is out there and you're still Cybercuck. Oh, it's a urinal. It's like, all right. Well, I guess how much longer do we have these? Because, you know, the truck, it's been in fear for a while. Right. So, and it's not yours. So it's okay.
That kind of sentiment, though, turns into someone that feels vilified when they throw a cup of something at an actual Cybertruck. And they feel like they're just attacking the inanimate object. But when they bring it to the real world, then it becomes a thing. Yeah. One thing I was going to mention, though, is I think Reddit moderators get a bad rap for a good reason. For a lot of the reasons that we talked about, Reddit is kind of falling away. Same thing happens even in Cyberstock. Criticize any kind of argument that's not shitting on the Cybertruck. They censor it. They shut it down. If you say anything even remotely positive or questioning any kind of the motives, they shut it down. They literally are censoring we only want hate in this. We only want hate. And that kind of tells you the people that are like running and consuming this content, that's what they want. Another thing to bring up is
driving traffic.
Yeah,
that's what they want. Driving traffic. 169. It said top 1% of subreddits. The truck's only hasn't been out a year, and a hate community is one of the top 1% populations on the website.
It deserves a documentary, I think, just on this whole like Cybertruck phenomenon. That this is going to have a whole chapter, because even the our Cybertruck subreddit is now private. They have went private in the last few weeks because what's happening is that Cyberstuck all of their minions are flooding over to Cybertruck and doing the same shit in Cybertruck. So it's like, it's almost the opposite, where it's like Coke versus Pepsi, where our Cybertruck now has to, like, you know, completely over censor because all these people are just coming in and shitting on it. And so I don't know, my theory is that I kind of mentioned to you guys before we started that there really hasn't been anything. All of the Tesla Q bots have been able to, like, put the eye of, like, Sauron to, like, shit on Tesla in general, except for the Cybertruck. And the Cybertruck is such a big phenomenon. This is like the golden era of, like, Tesla Q, like, FUD, you know, whatever. So I'm sure all of their bots are literally, like, going to everything. And I mentioned it this last week that we saw there was a social media post from Huel, which actually I think I was telling someone else this, but either way, there was a social media post from Huel where the protein powder company. They wrapped their Cybertruck with, like, a big black Cybertruck with Huel across it. They put up a post, and literally the one post was just full of just, you know, hate. I think Eric, you had it. It was just full of just, like, hate comments all the way through it. And it's like they're getting their minions. And it actually was posted on Cyberstuck, and then it even created even more comments. So it's like, I think there's a little bit of both. There's a little bit of, you know, people, you know, living in their parents' basement, just hating themselves, wanting to, like, get out their frustration on something, whether it's whatever they're frustrated about. And then also we got a lot of bots that are just saying the exact same thing. And some of those comments in there were just, like, in general, like, either a hate Elon or a hate Tesla, and it's, like, copy pasted. So it's like, there's a lot of, like, issue with this.
So one of the issues, I mean, I have a lot of issues with this, but one of them is the fact that not only, because I went through there and I was like, okay, let me just see what's on here just to really piss me off, right? And I'm going through there, and here's one of them. And I know I sent this to you guys, but I'm going to go ahead and share this with everybody else. When I see this type of stuff, it grinds my gears, because look at this. So this is part of that subreddit, and it goes, apparently Cybertruck owners are having to replace their tires every 6,000 miles. So on the bright side, this won't be a problem for long. Wait, what's that? Okay, so they're putting that false information out there. Oh, Cybertruck owners are having to replace their tires after 6,000 miles. Mm-hmm. I know I put new tires on my truck, but that was because I wanted beefier off-roaded tires. But Chase, you just put new tires about 2 weeks ago. How many miles did you have on the original tires?
Just over 11,000. So, I mean, still.
And were you anywhere near needing new tires?
No, like, I was not even a third really done. So, I did it so I could get four extra spares, because that's obviously something we talked about.
Yeah. And that's the frustrating part. Once again, I'm sorry to everybody who's listening or watching and going, oh, just got to shut up about this. But just, you know, I told the guys last week I drove through a fast food chain to get some food, and the guy who took my order asked me if my truck is rusting. And I laughed, because I go, that's the problem, is that when you have people putting out wrong information, then people who just read that and run with it think that that's the truth when it's really not. You know, I guarantee you I'm going to be hearing from somebody at some point, hey, how many miles do you have in your truck? Oh, I have 13,000 miles. Oh, how many times have you replaced your tires? Probably twice already, right? Because I hear they only get 6,000 miles. It's a bunch of
chaos. So maybe this is just my high brain, but it's like, do these people think Tesla make the tires? Like,
yeah, a Goodyear tire.
They're shitting on Goodyear at that point.
And everyone's suing Continental. Like, I feel like the rusting thing was nothing burger, as they say. The snapped frame, the tongue weight being 200 pounds, all of these things are like, yeah, these are extreme duress situations where I get how everybody thought the Tesla Cybertruck was indestructible, but it clearly is not, because it's made by people. So it's not going to, you know, it's the whole. I mean, so now the only thing that I've seen lately is the articulating wheels snapping, because they saw a couple of photos where it had happened. And so they're assuming, oh, these things are snapping like twigs. And so that's what they're playing to. And the tire thing can just be something to add on to it, when it's like, you know, I will say, I mean, my wife has the original OEM tires from when we got her Model Y 3 years ago, and she's only put on like 18,000 miles, and the tires are starting to fail on us. So I'm buying new tires, but I mean, you know, again, I'm like, yeah, but they're Goodyear. I'm going to be mad at Goodyear if they're dying that quickly. Tesla. I'm going to go after the warranty on that. I'm not going to like. It's just that blind spot where a rational person would say in a group of people shitting on something, Tesla doesn't make the wheel. But there's no fun in being that guy at the party when everybody's shitting on the thing.
Yeah,
irrationally.
It's Reddit on Goodyear tires. How about that?
It's just like anything else on the internet. Like everyone wants to feel vilified and lockstep. You're like, yep, I'm toting the line. I'm toting the line. It's like nobody wants to feel like the outcast, and it's just human nature at that point. But it's also like. It's the worst possible human nature when it's anonymous, it's online. Like it's what I hate about social media. It's like someone could just like spew like anything they want in like a comment and then completely anonymous, and then they could just like feel better about themselves, but they don't realize there could be implications with that. Like even with you talk to or like watch any of like influencers that are like mediocrely this is a better way to put it, probably like a big influencer that has like millions of followers, but they're not like celebrity status. They still get thousands of hate comments, and they will read those and will talk about it. It's like, it's hard not to just see it, and it affects your psyche for a while. It's like, but at the end of the day, it's like one person maybe feel like if they read this, then it's going to be like, I'm going to get them. But that one comment could just kind of fall away. But then when it's thousands of comments, like you have Cypher Stuck, when it's like a wave, then that causes an issue.
Well, this is my thing. So I get a lot of negative comments. I get them all the time. And 100%, it does not bother me.
I haven't read it, by the way.
Yeah, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I let it go. This irked me because it's just like literally there's a place that somebody created all of these people to gather and congregate and hate. Right. And it's just crazy to me. But, I don't even want to give them any more attention. Let's
speaking of comments, is Jay in the comments?
Jay, you know what? Jay was in here in the beginning. I don't know where Jay went. I haven't seen him.
I have one last thing I wanted to say to cap it off, if I can remember.
Go ahead. Yeah.
It's just so I mean, when people kind of decide to just abjectly kind of shit on something, it's one of those things where, I've worked as a creative or in a creative field or connected to creative field, but still technical capability for years now. And the issue is criticism, unless it's quantifiable, is meaningless for the most part. So when somebody says your car looks like shit, I have a tendency to be like, okay, you didn't like it, but that doesn't give me anything to go off of. Mm-hmm. So I'd say in general for all Cybertruck owners, don't feel undermined because somebody has decided the shit du jour was going to be you. Because for the most part, if somebody came up to me and said, hey, your truck is stupid, and I'd be like, well, why do you feel that way? It's just dumb. Look at it. Well, what's wrong with it? It's stainless steel. It's kind of cool. I liked it. And, make them kind of take back from that bullying. Everybody's behind me. I got them on my side. I'm right. If you just bring it down to a simple level of just being like, look, man, I own the truck. I like the truck. I don't know where you're coming from. If you're down to tell me, I don't give a shit or whatever. But just like, I'm just driving my truck here, man. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. You can have your opinion. Just there's no reason to make it beyond that.
It brings the humanity.
Unless you want to bring up something to talk about with the truck, because if you have a criticism that's valid, I'll probably share it with you.
And we'll probably talk about it.
It's like, oh my God, the fingerprints, bro. Like but that's a conversation. That's just not you just shitting for the sake of shitting. So, owners, please have some patience and people who are critics, just,
Yeah. It's the humanity.
Get some class.
That's what the internet doesn't allow. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't allow the actual like human interaction or conversation. Cause like, I've had plenty of conversations with people that are like, yeah, it's not for me, but that's pretty cool. When I just talk about, just like have a conversation about it. I'm like, hey, it can do this and it can do that. And this is what I do with it. And like, I've seen those. The biggest one is like, we always get there like, they look ugly as sin, but what you did with the wrap, I kind of like it now. It's like, okay, I get that. Yeah. But it's like, I even had one interaction where I was in an outdoor mall, parked it somewhere. It was going to go get some juice land and passing by like a photographer that was, hoity-toity.
Cybertruck owner getting juice.
Yeah, yeah. I don't often really get juice.
Did it with the lemongrass extra squeeze.
Actually, it was a Wonder Showzen. Sorry. Thank you very much. No. So I was saying,
fitting the stereotypes.
I know, right? It didn't help my case in any of all of this interaction, too, because I was like, I walked by, I saw this young photographer that was like taking a photo of like a guy doing like a photo shoot. And I'm like, hey, if you want to like, you know, I literally was like feet away from the truck. I was like, hey, if you want to like take a photo in front of the truck, by all means, go for it. It's my truck. And he was like, no. And then they walk off. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I go get my juice. And then they come back around. And then we like have another face-to-face because they came back around. And he was like, hey, man, I didn't really mean it that way. Like, he like felt bad about it. And like, because I was just like, all right, cool. I just brushed it off. It was nothing. And he was like, you know, I was an asshole about that. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Like, it's you have your opinion, but it is what it is. But yeah, the fact that it was like, that was the instant reaction was like,
yeah,
kind of pouring into this idea of like, people were shitting on it so much online that once it became like, hey, this is my chance to say something. And then you act in person.
Yeah.
And you've realized how dumb it is. Then you learn something as yourself.
Well, let's get off the subject because I don't want to give these people too much
time. Don't get stuck in this subject, right?
This is this is probably the last time I'll ever bring anything like this up again because I don't like.
Yeah, because you know they're going to be in our comments now.
Yeah,
that's fine. I'll talk to him, man. I'll Bernie Sanders that shit and go to the Fox Town Hall. I'll talk to him because it's like I just want to, you know, the bots you can roll off of, but everybody else you should be like, why do you hate this thing so much? Why is this a part of your life? But anyway,
who hurt you?
Yeah, exactly. Like, do you want to ride in one? Like, is that the issue? No, I'm just kidding.
I will bring up. There was one last thing, not about the Cyberstuck, but the. Goodyear Wrangler tires you can buy in the same size for Cybertruck. So by the way, if you're looking for replacements, I didn't even think about this until we mentioned it. You could go get replacements at Discount Tire for $335 a tire, which is not too bad. They wouldn't have like the cutouts, but you could still, in theory, use the same aero caps and same wheels. But I'd be curious to see if that's the case.
Real quick, got another super donation, and it's once again from Fury. So Fury is going crazy here. He donated $50, so $70 for the night. I mean, Fury, you're keeping the lights on, to say the least. He did make a comment, and I get this comment often, but now where'd Will go?
He took off right when I was
going to bring him up. So Fury goes, I like you guys. William is a lot like me. You know, I always tell people, you know, that I always ask people when I meet them and they, you know, they listen to the podcast. I go, hey, so who's your favorite? You know, because they want to know, you know.
Don't tell me. I don't want to know. I can't. My ego can't handle it. Don't tell me. No.
9 times out of 10, it's Will. So, you know, and the joke.
I wasn't even here. I just got back. What's up?
Will, they were saying about how it was the favorite of the podcast.
Yeah,
it was shocking. I thought. It was...
Yeah, Chase Fury just donated another $50 because he likes Chase more than you.
Guys, come on now.
So anyways, Fury, thank you again. Appreciate it. Now and then also, Chase, just so you know, Jay is in chat, so he didn't take off on us. He's still in there. He's talking to everybody. So, wanted to move on to the next thing, and this is something that you know, so anybody that's new to the podcast, one thing in the early days was Will professing his love and all knowledge of the one and only Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian?
Oh, God. There
hasn't been much news with Kim Kardashian lately as it pertains to Tesla and Cybertruck, but there is some news. So I want Will's expertise of all things Kim K. Mm-hmm. So this right here is Kim Kardashian's newest Cybertruck. She has these wheels and a custom wrap. And if you can see all the trim pieces, the bumper, rocker panels, everything is all wrapped in the same color. I actually like it. I think it looks pretty good.
It looks deliberate. It looks nice.
I like the wording on the wheels. That's kind of nice. It's like, don't read this while you're driving or something like that. But I can't confirm now that we have people like fact checking this in the comments, but I did read that this was actually a paint job, not a wrap.
Okay.
Which would make more sense why they went ahead and painted all the plastic as well as the
wheels.
Makes sense.
But it looks great.
It looks nice. It looks like a it looks like she got with somebody who definitely had an idea of something to do with it that was minimalist, respected the architecture, the design, all of its lines and steel. Because, you know, I think I've made it pretty clear. Like, I like the stainless steel, and I've always liked the darker colorations and darker hues. Anytime it's like a lime green.
That you like Kim Kardashian.
That's oh, well.
Oh, we're talking about the truck?
She's pretty nice. She's all right. I mean, she's nice. But yeah, I mean, I'd prefer the truck, honestly. But that's just because, you know, I need a truck. I love my wife. But yeah, no, I genuinely appreciate that this has kind of become a canvas, because for a lot of people, like, they've done so much with vehicles over the years. And like I've said before, like, we're at that point where it's like, you know, to quote Marv from Sin City, it's like, you know, for a long time, modern cars just look like electric shavers. So I'm stoked to see a new canvas come out for people to kind of explore the artistic side of it. Because so much of our respective vehicles, like, my dad has always been a very utilitarian person with his cars. It's always, it gives me point A to point B. It was mostly because he had a really nice car when he was young that got absolutely demolished, and his insurance didn't pay him anything for it. So he was made up his mind. Cars were just for driving. But nowadays, it's like, we've gotten so good at making cars for driving and cars for safety. Now we can make them for art, for expression, for representation of who you are and what you're interested in. And the cars themselves don't need to be the representation of it. They can just be the canvas on which you can paint whatever.
Yeah, I've got 100%. A few ideas that I won't bring up now because I'll save for another podcast, but I really want to see. I'll wait and see for like wraps and things. But yeah, I think it's like it's a canvas, but also it's a canvas only because it has eyeballs. And honestly, it's also to think for the hundreds of thousands of cyberstuck people that want to like complain about it and create a buzz. Talk about like bad news is also good news. Like you're putting eyeballs on it. So it is kind of a canvas for expression where people are going to look at it for good or bad. I think that's something you said about it. Cause I think I've even said this entire year that it's like a billboard on wheels. Like everyone's just going to like stop and look at it. Cause they're like, what's that? Like even now, like I'll drive through a neighborhood and I'll get like a look in the, like a double take, you know, cause even if it's just subtle, people are like, oh, what is that thing?
You know? Yeah, you should see what they do when I drive by now.
They're like, that thing's beautiful, and they chuck their drink. Like,
yeah.
How dare you drive Cybertruck?
Before we get into probably the biggest news of the podcast, I just kind of want to run through some quick little things to, you know, get the news out to people. First thing is the light bar. I know Chase has the T-Sports line light bar, but this gentleman, contacted a service in regards to his light bar, and this is their response. Hey, Dr. Bowling, we just received communication that we will not be receiving any light bars at the service centers until October, November. I'm really sorry for the inconvenience. Once those are being shipped out, you will be notified. So there seems to be a slight delay in the light bars. I know that some people receive some, but I guess they're not producing them as quick as they wanted to, or there's a, you know, some type of backlog that's keeping them from being put out to everybody.
Right. I don't know if I asked the question when we would get the light bar or full self-driving, but I think this is kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy at this point that we're probably going to get full self-driving, hopefully before the light bar, maybe, but it's also driving more aftermarket. I've seen now at least one other company come out with another light bar similar to T-Sport line. Cause I think it's definitely a hole in the market where people are like, yeah, I thought there was a light bar, but I want something. And then they're filling that need, which I think it's a solid light bar. Like it's
100%.
Especially if they come out, and if it's like $2,000 for Tesla's light bar, like secondhand, then that's going to be,
but also like
it probably will be.
It said before, it's like for the off-road people to kind of get them into the car, it has to be their community building the stuff. You know, like they are so specific and knowledgeable about what it is that they need on the truck. I feel like Tesla was smart from the get-go to set the mounting points and set the wiring and make it public what was available or how to use it and whatever from the beginning, so that there could be companies who are like, yeah, you know, we're going to make a better light bar because that one sucks. And it's like, yeah, that's what that should be doing, you know?
Which we talked about that, right? The M&R light bar, the curved one we talked about a couple weeks back, right?
Okay, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you're saying. Like they are, you know, off-road, you know, accessory company. That's all they do is just light bars for, you know, Broncos and Raptors and all this other kind of stuff. And that's exactly who needs to step up. And they're
going to have the connections to how to build them, what's necessary, what's excess cost, you know,
all that stuff. Yeah. Totally. Let's get on to the next one. So last week we talked about the extension cables, right? Or the NACS supercharging. Well, there's some news on that as well. So Wes Morrow, who is the lead, right? He's the lead engineer for the Cybertruck. Somebody posted this NACS extension cord, and he responded saying, would recommend against using an extension cord on a supercharger. Have seen multiple instances of a cable overheated and shorting DCs. Mm. So that's good information. I mean, that's something that you're hearing it from him, and he's the guy that you would want to hear it from. And he's saying he highly recommends you not use an extension cord. So for anybody that was looking to buy one, I would probably stay away from them for now, at least.
I just want to know, why are they so short, and where did Will go? Or where did Eric? Yeah, where did Will go?
Will got disconnected, it seems like.
So yeah, it's a supercharger. Like I've never heard like a solid answer of like why they're so short. I think we had a couple of speculations, but it's one thing that I think I've seen a couple of Cybertruck owners have an issue with, of like, I couldn't reach, so I had to like park weird or something.
I've had to do that. I've had to do that once before. I was in Santa Barbara. And I went to a supercharger, and I was actually very, very low on my state of charge. And so I went to this supercharger in Santa Barbara, and I backed into multiple stalls, and there was no way it was going to reach. So I actually asked somebody who was at the end if they could move, because I had no way to charge. And that was the only supercharger around, and I would not make it to the next one. And they very nicely said, no problem. They moved their Model Y, I think it was, and I was able to park sideways and charge my Cybertruck. So
we're talking about the importance of 3 inches.
Size matters. I mean, you know, I guess I hear.
But yeah, I've never really had an answer of why. So yeah, it seems like it's a no-go on the NACS extension cords from Wes, but also like I just had the question of like, why are the superchargers so damn short? It seems like and honestly, we were talking about how, like, you know, it's going to be opened up to more GMC vehicles. I think a lot of that is going to come into play as well, because this has really only been designed for the one configuration with Tesla, and then kind of an afterthought with the Cybertruck. But I don't think it's going to be as smooth with all the other vehicles from GMC.
Yeah, it's going to get rough out there. But last thing that I wanted to get into once we start wrapping this all up is probably the biggest news of the week is the fact that we had what seems to be a drone footage image of what could be a disguised robotaxi. So this robotaxi was spotted in LA on the Warner Brothers lot, which is where the robotaxi event will be held next month, apparently. And if you really zoom in, you can tell that this is a disguise.
Yeah.
It looks like they put a faux bumper. And this rear end looks to be an addition that they put on there as well to kind of throw you off on the look. And obviously that yellow seems to be just some type of really bad wrap. So what I get from this is more so that it looks like it's going to be a two-seater.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a four-seater. It's going to be a two-seater. It's very small, because if you look back here, that's looks like a Model 3. Could be a Model
Y. I think it's a Model Y that they did some hack job to.
Front end of.
Yeah, I think that looked to me on first view, it looked like a Model Y that they cut the canopy off of and basically cut out the roof above the second row and then put in whatever that boxy thing is, which I imagine has something to do with whatever system they're running on it. Maybe they're shooting with it. Who knows? Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
LiDAR or something they're having inside of it.
I actually know exactly where this intersection is, too. I know exactly where it is. This is in Warner Brothers, right by Gate 8, which is right next to the LA River.
Something to also note that I called out, or I was thinking when I was looking at it, the rear wheels are larger than the front wheels.
They are, yes.
Which is interesting.
It's
for any vehicle. I've never seen like,
I know
any
that the I know
that.
Model Y's, I mean, you know, most of the Tesla vehicles are staggered wheels, at least the staggered tires, but I think on the same wheel, the same frame. But this might be, yeah, this might be something different. Oh,
yeah.
It might be something beefier to support like whatever wheels. Is in that box.
I was going
to
say, yeah, I think that that could be the could case. Be. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to see. This is kind of giving us a hint of what.
What if it's a storage like. Locker?
Obviously.
What if? The, what if? No, no. Listen. Like, what if this is not just. Mm-hmm. Well, not just that. What if? What if luggage? The intended use for this, since it's an autonomous vehicle, there's no human. So then you can put material inside of it and not worry about like it being a bomb and killing somebody who works for you. It's a messenger vehicle, and you just put something, and then that space is basically like a truck bed canopy style, something boxy, a cube that locks, and when it gets to the destination, it unlocks with the vehicle. That'd be great for a courier service. I wonder if that's where they would start. Maybe it's a courier service to start before they put humans in the robo-taxis, because that's what they've got all over the place in LA, little robots that bring you food from the restaurant around the corner, and it just rolls on the sidewalk and brings you the food. I wonder if this is something like prove – basically this would be a test initially before they start putting humans in it, but show the viability of that of this as a sharing system.
Or maybe there's like – like you're saying, like maybe even like
something small, so you could put something of a certain dimensional shape,
suitcase or something,
couriered across town to somebody else, and it would give them a chance to basically test the ride sharing app functionality and the vehicle functionality before you start taking on passengers. I mean, that to me, that seems like the most reasonable way to achieve a robo taxi in the next year or so. Do some sort of validation with. Just parcels and be like, okay, we're ready to put people in them. You know, it delivered this to that. And, you know, people just go outside, open up the big trunk. I mean, that's a great idea. Cause I mean, I feel like the Uber market's already pretty great, but the in-town courier service, that's a big thing. I think that's actually the smart. Oh, wow. Okay. I got to think about that for a little bit. No, I mean, yeah. Cause you know, you think about it, we spent so much time. Amazon teased drones delivering same day packages and they even had a 2 hour delivery window service, Amazon Now. And then that, I think that they just realized that wasn't worth the money to keep it running, but to have a same day parcel delivery solution that literally is just already integrated into a rideshare fleet. Okay, so go buy Tesla stock. I'm not that guy, but go buy Tesla stock. I'm a naysayer. I do not give advice, but holy shit, I'm going to tell my dad tomorrow to maybe look at some options on Tesla before the 1010 event.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, 1010 is going to be a vital, a critical point. No matter what, it's going to go up or down. You heard it here first. It could go up and down.
I think it's
going to move. If anything, it's funny because you can actually do options trading to make sure that if it does go up and down either way significantly, you still can actually make money. So I'm sure people are doing that already, as we say.
I'm sure. But yeah, it's interesting. Jay actually asked a question, and it's the question we all want to answer to, Jay. And his question is, are we getting FSD this month? The latest tweet that Tesla put out was that we would. Right? We would be getting it by the end of September. But Jay, as you know, and you've been listening with us from day one, they said June, that didn't happen. They said August, that didn't happen. They're now saying September. I wouldn't hold my breath.
They're saying like auto park last week, and I haven't had auto park.
I don't have auto park
at all yet.
No. So we keep going back and forth about it. And we talk about we want it when it does get released, we want it to be fully operational. We want it to be safe. We want it to work properly. So if we need to wait a little bit longer, then we can wait a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to wait a little bit longer? Of course I don't. But, you know, it is what it is. And we just kind of have to keep waiting. And it's not letting me let Will back in. So, yeah, I'm sorry, Jay. I don't have the answer for you, unfortunately. But as soon as that is out, we will let you guys all know. Of course, I feel like I'm sure that'd be big news.
What we do know, or at least what we have speculated, is like 1010 is kind of a pivotal moment. There's a reason why they pushed it from 8.8 to now. So, yeah. And the fact that like we also had a push full self-driving with the Cybertruck as well. So I think it's all related. So at this point, I'm hopeful that by 1010 we would have it. But if I'm realistic, it could be that we don't get auto park until 1010. you know, and maybe full self-driving after, but who knows?
God damn, yeah, internet!
Let's hope we get all these things. Yeah.
I was going to say.
Well, your camera looks good and your audio is better, but yeah. Now we've got to get the
well, I got to do some internet network administration.
Got to get on that Starlink. That's another thing we can talk about, but we probably won't for today. But yeah, I just realized that the Starlink Mini, you can get like a cheaper version, like a $30 a month, like cellular version that could be cool.
Is that
like,
new?
I've always wanted.
Yeah, there's a Starlink Mini. You can pay a lower monthly fee for it, but it's like it's more expensive than their next step up size one. But yeah, and people have posted like basically sticking it with adhesive or suction cups to the glass canopy of their personal vehicle, whatever it may be, Tesla or otherwise. And yeah, it gives them basically, you know, pretty solid internet connection.
Yeah, because you know how the electric grid is out here in Texas. So like, I just want like a backup of like a reliable internet if I needed it in a pinch. And if it meant like I paid $30 a month as like a safety hazard or like an insurance policy for internet, then I'd do it all day.
100%.
Not 150, because Starlink itself is 150 a month.
Yeah, no, that's too much. That's too much.
Yeah.
But before we wrap this all up, guys, let's get into our two segments that we do each and every episode. And we're going to start with the first one because it's on theme with Will. And since we have Will right now, I don't want to lose him and not have him here for this. So.
It's a wrapped Maki.
It's a wrapped with fire.
This is the What Were They Thinking? This right here is what were they thinking? It's a Cybertruck.
Oh yes, okay, yeah.
with the pole in the back.
What kind of pole?
Oh, hell yeah, that's ingenuity.
A pole.
We'll see. It's funny because I come from I originally grew up in Indiana.
I really want to see how you're going to tie this together now.
Where. You know, it comes in. There used to be the Scheid Diesel Show shout out. Scheid Diesel Show was always coming to a town nearby, and it was basically like everyone coming in with their Cummins to like go like hang out in a parking lot and go to the diesel show. But what happened was the after party in the parking lot, and a lot of people would have their like. Their big diesel trucks with like, you know, smokestacks, like rolling coal and doing whatever. And then they would have like stripper poles in the bed and just have a party.
So lots there you of, go. He tied it all in, Will. He tied it all in.
So I'm not surprised that there's a stripper pole. I'm only surprised it took what, 9-10 months before it happened.
That's true. It was a little while, but, and then lastly, guys, let's do the wrap of the week, which we do every week. This one, I specifically picked this one for Chase and even Will and myself. We're all gamers. And so here's a pixelated themed wrap. And if you notice, there's a little Cybertruck there.
That's so cool. Nice.
It's like a Mars colony kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's really cool. I like that.
Again, the canvas.
So I thought that was
it's just fantastic.
Pretty neat.
It's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I always feel like we could learn something from when our kids appreciate something more than we do sometimes. Like they, you know, they remind you of being like, no, that is cool. Mm-hmm. And I swear, you know, you drive the Cybertruck by an elementary school, you've got a lot of eyes, a lot of nobody's throwing drinks there. They're genuinely stoked. So this is beautiful.
No, that's not awesome. At all. Yeah, the kids make it worthwhile because kids love the Cybertruck. I constantly, and I'm sure you guys have and did, you know, where you get you drive by on a street and there's kids on a corner and they're just pointing and their jaws are wide open and they're so excited to see a Cybertruck. So that's always
cool. It's always cool when they go the extra mile, the little details. Like that's always appreciated.
Yep, 100%. But other than that, that's all I got, guys. You guys got anything else? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I appreciate everybody. We had a full chat today. Jay, we miss Hugo. Hugo wasn't here today. Ark and Fury, once again, Fury, for your donations and supers. We really appreciate that. And everybody else.
Mark knows what's up. He's like Starlink Mini for your corn needs. Absolutely. Mark knows what's up. Somewhere
exactly. So, guys,
lay it out
later.
Appreciate it.
Cool. We'll see y'all.
Hell yeah.
Hardcore corn.